Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to the original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes.
Don't say we never rehearse anything, Guy.
No.
But last week was the late show.
It was.
This week is the wrong way round show.
It is.
And next week is the no show, because I'm on holiday.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, so.
So no podcast next
no
week.
No podcast next week, just letting you know early on.
Okay. Okay, we have the message.
We'll quite often I do podcasts on my holiday, but I think we'll be away, so.
There you go. Well, enjoy your holiday. You deserve a break in mid-season.
Thank you.
I mean, the Premier League's have been on a mid-season break. This is your mid-season break.
Yeah, they deserve it too, don't they?
They don't, they just. Aren't we happy for them?
I've got a little bit of a cold as well, if you can hear.
You have. Yeah. You sound a little bit congested. So, well, we'll muddle through as best we can.
Yeah.
We've got two games to talk about.
Yep.
4 points from the two games. Interesting games, both of them. We'll look ahead to the tough game on Saturday.
Won't it?
Oh, it's everything you look at, every measure. I've spent too long in council meetings. Every measure, every target that you put it up against, it's a tough game.
You were in a council meeting just now listening away, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah.
Southampton District Council Executive Committee is meeting this morning.
Brilliant.
And I can't go to the press conference, which is a slightly later on today, because I'm meeting a government minister today.
Which, there's you can't tell me which one, can you?
I can, because
okay, it's, you will have meted them by then.
I will have meted them
by then. Met them. I know my language.
I've forgotten his name, and it's on my email. But it's to do with Devon and Torbay becoming a combined authority, a devolution thing.
Devolution. I remember the day of when Torbay went separate, and all the councillors were in the Wigan Pen getting drunk.
Were they really?
on money probably given to them by the.
What a scandal!
I don't know.
Do we not expose that at the time?
I don't know. I remember they all came in from the offices and got very, very drunk.
Well, the minister who's coming, he's a parliamentary undersecretary from the Department of Levelling Up.
Great.
And he's 30.
Is he?
I looked him up because I thought he might be interesting. He might have been on I'm a Celebrity or something like that. So I looked him up and he's 30 years old. He is younger than my younger daughter.
Yeah.
And he's coming down to sign off on a deal worth billions of pounds.
Well done, son.
We'll be non-controversial and we'll say no more.
So this is why it's the wrong way round show, because in their wisdom, the last 2 weeks, Talker United have held their press conference at 12:30 at Plainmoor rather than 9:30 at either Seal Hayne or the South Devon College. So we're recording this before I record the press conference. So now we're going to go to listen to Gary, when in actual fact you have no idea what he's about to say.
I have no idea what's going on.
So
there.
What we're going to talk about after we've heard from Gary, when we've still not heard from Gary.
Who knows? But we'll busk it and we'll get away with it. So we could do this in a completely different order, but let's not.
Yeah, let's just.
Because people will be expecting.
Otherwise it would be the right way round show.
It will. So, so we'll be back, as we always are, on the other side of Gary Johnson.
Or will we?
So, Gaffer, back to Tuesday night, a 1-1 draw away at Chippenham Town. Down to 10 men for a majority of the second half, but undoubtedly had the better chances in that second half and should have won the game.
Yeah, they had a couple, but we had four unbelievable chances. And, they did very well to keep those four opportunities out of the net. And every one we had a head in our hands after we had our hands up in the air thinking this has got to be a goal, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. So it was a good finish by us with 10 men. The lads absolutely put in a fantastic effort throughout the game, but especially when we were down to 10 men with a 60-odd mile an hour gale and wind and rain in our faces. So we were brave in seeing that game out, and obviously the equaliser came during that time. But it was a very good half an hour by a group of lads that were very really wanted to keep the opposition out.
And obviously, as you say, treacherous conditions on Tuesday night, but once again the Yellow Army played their part, got behind the boys, and on a really horrible Tuesday evening.
Yeah, they were, and I don't think they had too much cover from the rain either. No. It really was unbelievable. And so, they could see, I think, that the boys were putting in the effort needed, and that we were actually very unfortunate not to have come away as winners. So no, we thank them, because it's a still a fair old trip in that weather. We hope they all got home safely, but still had their shirts on, their scarves and hats and things. So we need them. We need them now, and we really appreciate their support.
Now we're coming into a tricky February. Lots of games coming up. Is it 8 games throughout the month, Saturday, Tuesday? But injury returns are now starting to happen. We've seen the return of Tom Lapsley. We saw Dan Martin last Saturday as well, although obviously out due to illness on Tuesday night. Is it now the case of that the team is only going to get stronger? Aaron Jarvis, Kevin Dawson on commentary on TUFC radio on Tuesday night, alluring to that they're getting close as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's coming at the right time.
Yeah, well, Brad Ash has come in as well, and you've got Finlay Krask was on the bench. He wasn't on the bench, but he was on the bench. So he's now ready to start if selected, and then we have quite a few that are almost days away now. I know Jarves feels that he's sort of weeks away, a couple of weeks, but we'll try and bring that a little bit closer if we can, because it's when you've been out for a long time with certain injuries, it becomes a confidence thing. So he's working hard. He's working hard on the pitch, training. He's not training with the main group yet, but he will soon. And Jack Stobbs, of course, who's very, very close. Evidently, today the report was, because he did a pitch session today and his running was very, very good, and he's striking a ball now, so he's not a million miles away either. So it's, you're right, it can only get stronger, as the song says.
This Saturday, the games keep coming thick and fast. Tricky away game at Worthing. We saw them here first, home game of the season. Really good side, looked a good solid unit, and are up in second in the table. So it's obviously a tricky one, but they've lost quite a few games this season as well, so it's certainly winnable.
Yeah, every game's winnable and every game's losable, if that's a word. And they've been a very consistent side. We got 2 games in hand on them, 5 points away. So, if you get a draw, you're still 5 points away. If you get a win, you're only 2 points away with 2 games in hand. And if you lose, you're going to be 8 points away with still 2 games in hand. But that's, your games in hand don't reach them, even though there's still a lot of the season to go. So it's a big game for them, and it's a big game for us. And although it's not won and lost on that day, the 3 points would be very, very handy in this type of game. They're a good side. They keep the ball. You've got to cope with that, and you've got to keep the ball yourself. So it's and they got a striker, of course, who's in form and managed to keep himself fit all season, and has got 20-odd goals at this stage. So we have to be aware of what they do well.
Now, earlier today, there was a statement released regarding potential new stadium. Exciting times for Torquay United.
Yeah, very, very exciting. I know that our board of directors have been working very hard over the last few months with the local council, and there looks to be light at the end of the tunnel, as it were, and it's fantastic for the football club, its supporters. If it, you know, it's not actually. Yeah, there's still a few things that has got to happen, of course, but it looks like, you know, everybody's excited by it, and so it's good for the Bay, good for our supporters, good for our recruitment, all that sort of thing. You know, is fantastic, and I was very pleased to hear that. You know, it's a little bit further down the road now. So congratulations to everybody that's got it to this stage at least.
Gary, going back to Worthing, obviously you've watched that video again, I should imagine, from the second game of the season. What did you learn then, and what have you sort of looked back and learning now?
I think obviously you have to learn from every game, yeah. And that was the first game of the season, and I think people thought, you know, we should be the 4-0 winners in that type, yeah, of game, and I had shouts if it's only Worthing, that sort of thing, but... Yeah, a lot of players that are in this league have played a good level of football, and that's what we all have to understand. So you have to turn up ready. And we on the day, they outplayed us for sure, and we got to make sure that doesn't happen again if we can help it. But it doesn't mean to say now they're at home they're going to win, you know, 4-0 again, or by more than 4-0, because... they're a different team anyway, but they have got a way of playing that's that you've got to be ready for, and that's what we've got to do, yeah. And we've got to play our game as well. If we can play our game and give them as much of a problem as they give us, then it's going to be tight, as games between teams in the top half of the table always are, because we're all competing for the top 7 places, and of course, if you can't get top, you've got to get second. If you don't get second, you've got to get third or fourth, and so on. So, you know, we've been quite pleased with our form, because we should have beat Eastbourne, that's for sure, here, and we got beaten by the odd goal. Played Dover, won the game, played well, and then we got to Chippenham, 1-0 up, and then suddenly the things went against us with the sending off and the wind and the rain coming in our faces. So we're not a million miles away from where we need to be. We've just got to now, as I say, we've got to get a non-losing run, which is 3, if you like. But we've got three games that will, you know, that will be very interesting, in Worthing, St Albans and Maidstone. So we've got to be ready for that. And so we'll judge each team on its merits on the day, because, you know, at these levels you're not ever quite sure who's going to bring out their best game. You hope it's always going to be yours, but sometimes it isn't. But The lads are up for it, as they showed in their attitude towards the last game.
You said a couple of times this season that you feel that this division is stronger this year than it was 5 years ago when
Absolutely.
We were in it. Yeah, teams, nearly every team in the top half seems to have gone up to second and then dropped back down.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So there's no one really apart from Yeovil,
yeah,
who is stretching away.
Yeah, Yeovil
are second place.
Yeah, Yeovil are the consistent ones.
Yeah.
But everything else is up for grabs,
yeah,
at this moment in time. And who knows? You know, we don't know what might happen in the division. You know, if you remember when Dover pulled out of all their games, suddenly the league looked different because some teams hadn't played them. We'd beaten twice, I think, or 1-1-2, I think we beat them twice. So we lost 6 points during that time. So you just never know. So you've got to keep going. You just got to keep going and put a run of wins together, and certainly a run of non-losing games. You know, that's what we got to do, and then we got that confidence. We'll build and build more competition, and hopefully we can be there or thereabouts when it really matters.
Someone's emptying bottles.
Aaron Downs' hotel room. They just cleaned up.
Osman Foyer has gone back, I believe.
Yeah, Osman's gone back. His month was up.
Yeah.
We agreed with
And you had Brad Ash come back as well, so yeah.
Yeah, but we agreed with Ipswich it would be a month.
Right.
And so, because you know, they obviously are still looking after him, he just helped us out for that month. He was a great lad. It was unfortunate that he got a couple of bookings early on and we had to take him off because he's quite a lively lad. Yeah. Didn't really have too many opportunities. It wasn't a great period for us during those three or four games that he was around for. But he was a great lad, great lad. And we wish him well, and hopefully he'll do a Sinclair Armstrong and come through strong at the right time.
You took all of the squad to, where we were the other day, Chippenham. That was to keep the squad together, building squad confidence and all that stuff. And then obviously two players did the radio.
Yeah.
It's helpful, isn't it, to keep everyone in
message. Yeah, that's why we done it. And it's also one of the local-ish ones that we're not staying overnight. Everyone was on the bus together. They were in the dressing room together. They took the stick together. They took the applause together, and also it shows the ones that are in the team at the moment what they're going to be competing with in a couple of weeks' time, in a week or two's time, and so that's where the competition creates better results, because you've got that competition. Nobody wants to be left out the team, so when they're in the team they want to stay in the team, because they're looking around knowing, you know, the gaffer's waiting for him to come back, you know, and it just creates good competitive opposition. And I think sometimes the lads enjoy when the especially now when they're nearly all coming back, they need to know, get back into the psyche of it all, you know, like the nerves before the game and the nerves before going on the radio. And evidently they did a good job, the pair of them. They made a good double act.
I'm worried.
Yeah. And I probably didn't talk much about football. I don't know, but I didn't hear it myself. Anyway, the two great lads, we need them back. But it was that getting them together, getting them as a group again. And they all enjoyed being a part of the day as well.
So there we go, the Gary Johnson press conference, which I haven't heard.
And hasn't happened.
Because it's happening in the future. But we're treating it as if it's happened in the past.
Yeah, it's very, very confusing. It's like soap. Do you remember what they used to say at the soap at the end of soap?
Confused?
You will be.
That was good, soap, I remember that. The question that I was going to ask Gary, and hopefully somebody has during the course of the podcast, is where was Osman Foyo on Tuesday night?
I'm presuming that he just wasn't in the 16.
Yeah, whether he's injured, whether he's gone back, but you'll know by now because in the future somebody will ask Gary.
Yeah, and you will know, and we don't.
I know.
This is very strange.
I'm going to cross that out. Let's talk football instead. Then Torquay United 1, Dover Athletic 0.
Yeah. I thought it was a better game than some people seem to suggest afterwards.
You wrote a very good column on it in the Herald Express and Devon Live this week.
I've had a few texts about that.
Well,
I did say that I don't read social media, so there's no point in slagging me off on it. But
so people texted you instead?
Yes.
Well, that was good of them. Torquay won the game 1-0 with an extraordinary goal from Brett McGavin.
Oh, what a goal that was.
It was 33 yards out.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
Because Julian very helpfully, Julian Goldthorpe this is, very helpfully mows 6-yard bands on the pitch. Because if you look at the 6-yard box, that's one band. So you can work out exactly how far out he was. And I reckon 33 yards out when he hit that one.
Right. Gary thought 40 at one point, but he did rein that in a bit later in the interview. from the memory of the day, it's further out than it felt like at the time.
And it was always going in. I mean, the keeper did his best, but when Brett McGavin hits one like that, I mean, keeper, fair enough, he saved the free kick in the last minute, but he was not getting anywhere near that shot.
No.
And as Dave Thomas said in his summing up on BBC, as I was driving home in the car, you won't see a better goal than that anywhere at any level of football.
No.
On the day. Great, great goal.
That's his eighth goal of the season, by the way.
Yeah.
And they've all been... there's been a couple of free kicks, but...
They've all been good ones.
They've all been good ones, and he is still behind Aaron Jarvis, whose most of his goals were penalties.
Yeah, and Brad Ash.
And Brad Ash. But it's not a bad tally. Bad.
Teams are starting to mark him now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Teams are trying to mark him out of the game.
He's getting
They're
a bit
putting
tighter
at least
there,
one player on him.
Yeah.
Because they know that he's our playmaker. Good things. Brad Ash returned for that game against Dover.
Worked hard.
He at least gives us an out ball. He's got he's got something there. And Tom Lapsley came on as sub.
Yep.
As he did on Tuesday as well. Tiger Tom is back in the fold, so that's good. But what happened off the pitch was what got your goat and mine, to be honest.
Yeah.
We're a goal up, and there's a little section of the fans on the pop side singing "We Want Johnson Act."
Yeah, they were singing it before the goal as well.
They were. Yeah, singing before the goal, after the goal, probably during the goal.
And probably on the way home. I don't have a problem with having that opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That was never what I was saying. My biggest problem is the fact that if you're singing that when the players are trying to work hard and do the things that the manager wants them to do and do it right and put all... You know, there's a lot of thought process that has to go through playing a game because you need to be doing what the manager wants you to do because you all need to be doing that. If one person isn't doing that, then it's not fitting together like a jigsaw. And you work all week in training for that. And if all you can get in your head is, oh, the fans are singing the manager to go, or like you suggested at another recent game, they get on the back of one of the players and he visibly wilts.
Yeah.
What's the point in that?
No. You get somebody said to me at Playmore on Saturday, I think it's a quote from Bill Shankly, you can't boo a player better. Nobody ever booed a player better.
No, exactly. That's the whole point.
So
you are making things worse by doing it. Now, if you want to make things worse, go on, go ahead. But I don't think that's what you intend to be doing.
I'm not sure how...
I have no problem. Someone texted me and said, don't you think... I said, I have no problem with the fact of the opinion that you might want Gary out. It's the way of expressing it.
Yeah. I think it's counterproductive.
Yeah.
I think it's... But, yeah, you're right. People do feel strongly. There's a significant proportion of the Torquay fans who have formed that opinion now. I did have a look, actually, while we're talking about managers. I've got some stats on managers. Well, I went down a bit of a wormhole on Torquay fan stats.
Oh, okay.
It's very easy to do.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd have a little look and see how many games various managers have been in charge. And I was quite surprised. Eric Weber, of course, 680 games in charge. No one will ever get
it. Nearly 15
that.
Years, wasn't it?
Yeah,
something like that.
It was. Frank Brown, 1932 to 1938, 279 games.
Mm-hmm.
And next up is Gary Johnson.
He's third in the list now, is he?
262 games. During the course of this season, which we hadn't realised and we hadn't marked on the podcast, he would have passed Frank O'Farrell's 244.
Did he? Okay. But Frank O'Farrell would have been in three different separate periods of time.
And the next one is Paul Buckle, 226. And Mike Green, 221.
Yeah.
I didn't realise Mike Green had been there as long as he had.
And all those other managers are below that. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So Gary is right up there. 262 games. We have a 46.95% success rate with Gary, which puts him at the top of those six managers.
Now, that's fair enough. And I understand that we're playing at a lot lower level than we have played previously.
Quite.
So that skews that fact slightly. But it's still not bad.
You've got the third... most experienced in Torquay United, the third most Torquay-fied manager that we've ever had.
Mm.
And as we said last week, there's a shelf life on managers, but expressing that feeling when the team is 1-0 up and the game is on a bit of a knife edge, I don't think is helpful either.
I do say in the column, at the end of the season, if we don't go up, yes, then the assessment is there to be done. And maybe then, you know, more people will come down on the side of change. But we're not going down this season.
No.
Now, that might mean that you feel like it's a wasted season if we don't go up. But isn't every season a wasted season when you don't go up? I mean, you know, Torquay maybe have moved up and down a bit more regularly in other teams in the past. But, you know, in the 80s, was that 10 wasted seasons just because we just stayed in the fourth division? That's football.
And the sentiment that's quite often expressed from people saying, well, you know, we're in the National League South, we should be beating all these teams every week, week in, week out. This is, you know, we haven't suddenly arrived at this level.
No,
it's taken
two and a half seasons
to get here, and the squad has naturally become weaker over those seasons because better players have left and gone to play at higher levels. We have a squad which is a National League South squad.
If you want to assess
it, it's full time.
Yeah,
but it's.
But then, so are Eastbourne.
Yeah, I mean this is where we are.
If you want to assess it at the end of the season, by far and away the best time to assess it, do it. Yeah.
And as you said,
let's just get behind them until then.
As you said,
because we're not going down. If we do go down, I'll be, you know, the first person to hold my hand up. We're not going down. So we're still in the playoffs.
And as we said the other day, when all of these injured players are back, if we're still dithering through games and not
the reason Gary hasn't brought anyone in is because he knows he's got, well, a couple of weeks ago he knew he had six players coming back that he would like to have signed.
Yeah, yeah.
If those players became available now, he would sign them.
And Aaron Jarvis and Kevin Dawson were both at Chippenham on Tuesday.
He took everyone.
He took everyone. A big outing.
Yeah,
It's
a jolly boys outing.
Jolly boys outing. At least the coach didn't blow up.
Yeah,
but. That's one for the Only Fools and Horses. But yeah, I mean, it was odd to have that atmosphere at a game that we won. But I do understand it. I can understand why people are feeling it. I'm just not sure that it's helping all that much.
And then, of course, I wrote that column and put it in the paper because deadlines are strange these days. Before we went to Tuesday night and Chippenham, and it was a disappointing draw, really, wasn't it?
It wasn't a great game. I mean,
it was,
watch the
that
stream.
4 or 5 minutes would just killed it for us.
Yeah, it was one each. It was on the stream. Good stream commentary, by the way. I thought he did well. He was quite funny. He'd done a lot of research.
I got a bit bored of him by the end.
Yeah, but he knew his stuff. He'd done a lot of research.
Fair enough.
It wasn't just when we had the COVID commentary. Some of them were dreadful.
Yeah.
Some of them hadn't looked.
It was nice to have a commentary because most teams don't even bother with a commentary now, including Torquay.
That's the first one I've watched for a while.
Yeah.
On there. But yeah, there were commentaries where people had only just seen our team sheet and not bothered looking at any of our players.
I guess you're right.
But this guy knew his stuff. Finley Crask on the bench.
Yeah.
Was good.
Yeah.
14 games he's missed. He last played on November the 4th.
Yeah.
So he's been out for a long time. There's another player who's coming back, another player that Gary would have signed.
Yeah.
If he'd become available. Interesting evening for Will Jenkins-Davies.
Yeah, good goal. Took it really well. 12 minutes in, you thought, oh, we're going to coast this.
Yeah.
I know everyone else did, so I'm just going to say it as well.
I felt good at that point. Yeah. I thought,
we've and they played well in the first half at times, and I just thought, where's this goal coming from? Because you were expecting it to come after the first one, and it just didn't come.
Brad Ash was involved in it.
Yeah,
he won the ball on the edge
Dinked
of the box.
It through.
Yeah, got it through to Will Jenkins Davies. He does make a difference having a striker up there who is used to playing as a striker at this level. I mean, he was a big hero at Chippenham for a while, wasn't he? As well, does certainly makes a difference. The sending off. I mean, they were too
dubious.
I haven't watched them back again.
I haven't watched them back again. Gary suggests that the first one wasn't really a yellow card, and I'm going to take his word for that. Mm. Second one even wasn't really.
I thought the second one looked pretty harsh.
Yeah.
But he knew. I mean, as soon as the referee starts rummaging around in his pockets, Will Jenkins-Davies, he's going to send me off.
And I think we're going to get that strange anomaly between the National League and the National South again this week, where he's available probably for Saturday, but not available for the Tuesday night.
Yeah, we don't have a game next Tuesday night, do we?
Oh, now you've tested me. Yeah, I think we do. Do we?
No.
No. Okay. So that because I'm thinking all the way through February we have a Tuesday night game.
I'm just checking my office diary here, which is a very impressive volume. I don't have a stand for a game next Tuesday.
Okay, so it'll be the first game of February that you will probably miss.
Albans.
Now, you know, don't take my word for that, because crikey knows what the National League's up to sometimes. But no. It seems like second yellow card bans, so one game, fall a week after the yellow card, rather than for the next game in this division.
Okay. So
in line with non-league below rather than the National League above.
So he can probably play at Worthing.
Yeah.
This is another thing you'll be able to check in the podcast. In the press conference.
Yeah. So you've already known this.
But hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Well, this is very strange. I'm not going to mention the fact that Osman Foyo was not involved on Tuesday. Then.
No, but we all know why now. Or do we?
well, I don't.
You have to listen to the podcast, guy.
We have to mention the weather as well. That's probably the worst conditions I've seen a game played in for a long time.
Nell, my wife, wandered past us watching the stream and she went, oh, that's nasty up there, isn't it? It
certainly is. Fair play to the fans who went, because there didn't seem to be any cover.
No, wet, as they say in the pop charts.
Weren't they just? And in Gary Johnson's conference after the game, his little chat after the game, his interview, it did sound as if the stand was going to come down on top of his head at any moment.
It was creaky.
It certainly was. Yeah. So well played, Chippen, to get that game on.
Yeah, I didn't think. So Tuesday, I was sitting in my front room working with a desk that sort of faces out across Babbacombe, or into my car park and a bit of Babbacombe, and that rain was heavy.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, if this is going on up there, I can't see it being on. I was surprised it was on in the end.
So let's look ahead to Saturday. Again, you'll know more about Talking Notes plans for Saturday. Worthing are currently second.
Yeah.
They beat us 3-0 at Plainmoor on August the 12th.
Yep. Didn't play to our best ability that day, did we?
We didn't. I mean, whether we can do
better. And we thought Worthing were going to be world beaters then, but they've not really been that, and they've only just risen to second again.
Yeah. I mean, they're a good side. Joe Felix played well for them at Plainmoor as well, which was interesting, because he never really played that well for us, but he seems to have found his feet a little bit at Worthing. Jake Robinson is there. Aaron Racine is not. He's retired.
He
suffered another ACL injury, the fourth of his career. He got one of them when he played for us, didn't he? We had him on loan from Forest Green.
Yeah.
And he played one game under Kevin Nicholson.
That's it.
And he got injured during that game, didn't he? Because if I remember rightly, we were sitting on the press bench and he played for about an hour. And we thought, we've got a really good player here on loan. He's going to do good things for us.
Yeah.
And then down he went.
Yeah. It's been a few of those over the years, hasn't
there? They have. Yeah. But best wishes to him. Retirement as a result of injury is never a good thing.
Not a nice thing footballer. To have to go through.
He's had a long and illustrious career, so good luck to Aaron Racine.
There are players, I mean, have probably played at a higher level, but in the past that have retired because they've been injured, and then 26, 27, and then ended up as decent managers in the future. Yeah. Brian Clough being one, I think.
That's true. That's true. So maybe
Alex Ferguson, maybe even, I think, did he retire? But there's, you know, even coaches at teams are players that have been forced to retire early and then taken that route. Mm. So maybe he wants to take that route. Or maybe he's going to become an Uber driver. Who knows?
Who knows what he's going to do? He could be bringing your Uber Eats one of these days. But maybe not. That's a monstrously difficult game, isn't it? That Worthing game
nasty.
On paper.
Yeah.
You look at it and all the...
Don't feel the right time to be playing it, really, does it?
No.
If you know what I mean.
All the metrics are
you have been in a council meeting, haven't you?
All the metrics show that it's going to be a really, really uphill struggle. Yeah. It's the kind of game Torquay win, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Torquay will struggle against Dover, who are 24th and hopeless.
Yeah.
But can they turn on something at Worthing? Can Tiger Tom take us through?
Well, I wonder if he's going to start. I wonder why he hasn't started. I think Ace is struggling to keep up with things at the moment.
Yeah. I think you've got players, we don't know, but I think we've got players who are, let's say, 80, 85%
fit. Yeah, definitely.
in Ace, Dan Martin, Tom Lapsley, players who aren't quite back yet.
Yeah.
But we're having to play them because we've got no choice.
Yeah.
You know, you, in an ideal world, you'd have kept Ace out for another 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe Tom as well, maybe
I think you would, definitely.
Maybe Brad.
Yeah.
You know, maybe all of these players have come back right on. I wouldn't say Torquay would never bring players back too early because that would just be reckless. But I think they may have been brought back right on the limit of when they're ready.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting, especially up there with the, you know, they play decent football, don't they?
Yeah.
We need to mark them high up the pitch and hassle them and.
Yeah.
Bees around her, what was it?
It's the wasps at the picnic.
That wasps at the picnic, yeah.
Hassle them high up the pitch and
make them feel small.
Tomlinson and Moxie are going to be busy at centre back as well, aren't they? So it'll be interesting to see what happens at left back. Archie Harris was back in the team for the Chippenham game. He missed the Dover game. Dan Martin came in instead. It'll be interesting to see what he does. Archie's, it blows a little bit hot and cold at the moment. When he's good, he's very, very good. But he has got a mistake in him at the moment.
Yeah.
Whether that's anything to do with his confidence, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
But it's probably not helped by people shouting at him.
There was something else that I came up with from my delve into the managers, by the way.
Okay.
The best percentage points average of any manager is the 51.92% success rate of Crad Evans.
Is it really?
Between exactly 100 years ago.
Yeah.
1921, 1924.
Yeah.
Percival Craddock Evans, he was the first Torquay
player. Before we were in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first Torquay player to gain international honours.
Was he? He's Welsh, wasn't he?
He played for Wales in 1909.
Yeah.
He died in a Paignton nursing home in 1949 and he lived in Norman Road in Paignton, just off the seafront.
Did he?
So if you live anywhere around Norman Road, Stitfield Road, Lower Polsham, you're in illustrious.
So he played for Wales in
1909. I think he only played one game for Wales.
And that run was, as Torquay manager, was 2001 to
1921 to 1924.
So you presume he would have gone to the war as well.
What the life
these people had.
Yeah.
I'm just reading in memorandum.
There you go. Yeah. Could be an interesting bit of research.
In memoriam, I'm just reading that. So
So I'm at a bit of a loss here, Richie, because I haven't heard the press conference.
Well, you don't know what's happened, do you?
I know
everything, Guy.
So I'm going to press on with any other business.
Yeah, let's do any other. We'll keep it reasonably short for the Wrong Way Round show.
Danny Gaze has retired.
Yes, I saw that.
42.
Yeah, good going.
A lot of games for Buckland, Brixham. His last game would have been the game up at North Greenford.
Yeah.
So he's decided that's quite something, isn't it? As a long career, we've watched Danny play. Lots of times,
yeah.
And the teams that he's played for will miss him. He's a big presence. Yeah. You know, a bit of a... I was going to call him a steadying influence, but, you know, he's all in, Danny, isn't he?
Yeah, so, he works at the college, doesn't he?
Yeah. Julian has been looking at some stats.
I thought you'd say Julian was retired.
No, absolutely
we'd be
not.
In...
He's been having a look at how we got on in previous seasons where we've made the playoffs.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So in both 87-88 under Cyril and 93-94 under Don O'Riordan, both times, after 30 games, we had exactly 50 points.
Okay.
At the moment, we've played 27 games, we have 45 points.
Interesting.
So we're kind of...
The same size table. Not sure, but...
Same size there. I think it was fewer teams in the playoffs then.
Only four in the playoffs.
So we'd be higher in the position. But this is a season where we have to finish second or third, isn't it?
You need to finish second or third, really,
So
I mean, we don't have to.
To avoid that first playoff game.
Yeah, but we're still in the playoffs.
So we're kind of still on target.
You want to finish second because you want to come into the playoffs at the second stage with a home game.
We're all saying, and again, I think Dave said it after the match on BBC Radio Devon on Saturday, Yeovil have gone over the horizon.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, really, there's no catching them.
Yeovil are, to all intents and purposes, home and hosts.
Yeah.
So, second place.
Funny, you know, the fans don't like that chairman either.
Do they not?
And not the, some fans really don't like him.
And they're top of the league.
And they're top of the league.
There's no pleasing some people.
Really. You sound like Chaz and Dave.
There's no pleasing us, to be honest. But, Joe Lewis has made his move to AFC Wimbledon permanent.
Permanent, and Connor's gone back.
Connor's gone back to Stockport. Kieran Evans has gone on loan from Cardiff to Gateshead.
Has he? Is he still there?
He's still there. He's he played three.
Take him back.
He scored three goals in 39 games for us.
Yeah, I take him back. I liked him.
He's a decent player.
Yeah.
He was a provider rather than a goal scorer.
I think at this level he'd be superb.
But he's at Gateshead now. Mo Touré scored again for the Warrington Rylands.
Woohoo!
Your favourite team.
My favourite team. Non-league team. Constant. Loads of Ryland Clarks running around a football field.
Keeps on scoring for them. And to finish off with, well played, Olaf Kozela.
Yeah.
A hat-trick.
Yeah.
For Dorchester in a 3-2 win over Merthyr. Sounds quite a fiery game.
It was also, I think it's about a 12-minute hat-trick when you look at the times.
Yeah. 518 people there to see it.
Yeah.
At Dorchester. But Olaf is doing fine.
Yep.
That's one level below us now. Southern Premier, or are they Southern First, Dorchester?
You put me on the spot. I think they're Southern Premier. Yeah. I'm trying to think if Tiverton have played them this season, or I think Tiverton were due to play them over Christmas and it was cancelled, so that would make sense.
Yeah, so Southern Premier. So one level below, there was that feeling that Olaf didn't quite have what it took to play in the National League.
Mm.
I'm shrugging my shoulders here. Yeah. You know? I mean, he's.
You were an Olaf fan, weren't you?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
But then I like to see a local lad in the team. Yeah. There are local lads in the team. You know, we're not without local lads in this team now. I'd always thought there was something there in Olaf, but Gary and Aaron obviously saw him every day.
They gave him a lot of chance, a long time.
He started the first game of last season against Oldham, didn't he?
Did he? Came on a sub.
No, he didn't start. He came on a sub.
Yeah.
And that was the last time he played for Torquay.
Right.
So there you go. He's banging him in for Dorchester.
Good boy.
So, a strange podcast. We'll bring it to a close because I have no idea what's going on in the world. Absolutely.
You know what's going on in, is it Teignbridge Council?
Southampton Council Executive this morning. We're being watched by cats.
Yeah, that's weird. The last time I looked, the cat was in the room and now it's outside the patio doors.
And his lookalike is out there as well. There are two cats out there.
Two cats. And some pigeons.
What a pleasant
animal crossing here.
A bucolic scene, indeed. Thanks for your company.
I feel bubolic, not...
Enjoy the podcast. Enjoy the press conference bit of it.
Yeah.
I'll have to listen to that later.
It's weird. I'm going to go to the press conference now.
If you're going to Worthing, enjoy the game.
Dress up warm.
Travel safely. Go to the travel club because they'll be running a trip up there. And we'll finish as we always do.
Come on, you yellows.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. Full of pride, buckle up for the ride of yellows.